Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Hello, everybody. This is Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and you're listening to Metal Geeks.
Hello, this is Sam De La Rosa, and I listen to Metal Geeks.
Welcome to Metal Geeks, Geekazoids. I am one of your hosts, JM Metal Geek.
And I am your other. I am Akari G, the Metal Geek du jour.
And we're actually, we're guested with somebody today. Well, let's go ahead and just introduce yourself.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
You guys are the stars of the show.
No, you're the star today, man.
Brimstone, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you for coming on the show, man. I started following you on Instagram and then started catching up with all the stuff that you do. And there's a lot of stuff to really talk about in the beginning of the show. First thing I want to know, you were a wrestler for many years. How did you get started in that?
It was something that I always thought would be fun and interesting. I always had when I was younger, we used to watch all the WrestleManias and so forth. And, you know, it was always a lot of fun. And we used to wrestle with all the boys. And at the end of the day, I always loved the theatrics of it. I loved the fact that everybody was kind of larger than life. The gimmicks were just awesome to me. And, I was a musician for many years. And when I decided to get out of a five-way marriage, I went and happened upon a couple of other boys who have been in the business for a long time. And, one of them told me, hey, you look like you should be a wrestler. And after, to make a long story short, I went and started training. And here we are almost 17 years later. I had a long, luxurious career in it. So
do you plan to ever get back into it, or that part of your life just completely over?
You never say never in the industry. However, I have so much going on for me outside of the ring. Unless I was given an offer that I couldn't refuse, I would doubt that I'd be back in the ring, only because, I have no time for it, to be completely honest. It's just, I'm constantly on tour. I'm constantly running. I also run Hound Comics Inc., Hound Entertainment Group. And, between appearances, traveling appearances, personal appearances, business, and trying to spend some time with my family, it is nearly impossible for me to fit pro wrestling in.
How's your body handling up after so many years of doing it?
I feel like an old man, but it's all it's all good.
I never wrestled, and I still feel like an old man too, man.
Oh, hey, look, talking on the radio and podcasts will do that to you.
That's right. Sitting on your ass all day does that to you. You mentioned Hound Comics a little bit, and I definitely wanted to get into that. How did that first come about? How did you, I'm going to start working in comic books.
Well, when I was very young, I used to love art. I used to love comics and, a couple of my favorites like G.I. Joe and, X-Men with the Beast and, a whole bunch of different comics that I used to love. And I used to draw. And what a lot of people don't realize is I can actually draw. I just don't have the time for it, unfortunately, which is why I have a team. That being said, later on, down the road, I after wrestling for many years, I said, this character, outside of wrestling has a life. And I'd love to be able to take this character and do more with it. And, the natural progression, in my opinion, was to move on to comic books, which, you could take the character and make it live within the pages of a comic to where, you can just continue with the adventures of Brimstone. And, Brimstone not being, me personally, Brimstone being the character that was created for the you know, the wrestling industry. So of course the book has nothing to do with pro wrestling whatsoever. However, you know, the character itself, to where, you know, I used to come from a land of gimmicks, mm-hmm. and you know, the gimmick had a story and so forth, and we took that and built it into an actual storyline for the comic, and there we have it. You know, to grow Hound into an actual corporation, into what it is now, kind of happened by accident. So you know, it's you know, it's a long story, and you know, a lot of things went into it, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And yeah, I mean, right now we've grown into being one of the bigger players, which is fantastic. We have well over 100 different people, 100 different creators underneath the Hound banner, about 40 somewhat different titles that are under the Hound banner. And you know, whether it's, you know, artists or celebrity based or whatever, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
No, I hope I'm making sense.
Oh, definitely. I wanted to talk to you about, because you know, people think comic books, they always think Marvel and DC, and then you have, you know, your stuff like Image on the side, but then you have guys like, definitely like Hound Comics, that are really rising up and bringing their own style to the business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's used to Marvel, everybody's used to DC. The fact of the matter is they have big pockets. You know, Image Comics was fantastic. It's still good. Image was kind of one of the ones that broke away from the whole Marvel and DC vibe, and were successful for themselves. Now you got people that are out there like Dark Horse and Big mm-hmm. Dog Inc. and IDW, and we're you know, basically coming up on their coattails, and well, not on their coattails, but you know, we're right behind them, and building our own brand within the industry. You know, we do things a little bit differently than everybody else. You know, our stuff is all creator owned. You know, we have that celebrity aspect to us that a lot of the other companies don't have, which, you know, could work for you and could not work for you, but either or, it's just, you know, a lot of creativity that goes into the, to building this brand.
Let's talk. Yeah. You mentioned brand. Your company is definitely a brand. That's the really important thing to take away from it. And you have a lot of different umbrellas under that brand, especially like you have a lot of children's books that you guys work on too.
Yeah, well, we actually have done the flagship series. The flagship brand of the company is you know, the Brimstone and the Border Hounds brand, which is you know, my specific book. From there, we have you know, the Border Pups, which is kind of like a watered down version of the Border Hounds comic, so that, you know, the kids can enjoy, you know, stories with the same characters, but, you know, more so like a Curious George or a Berenstain Bears or Clifford. You know, we're very involved in you know, a lot of stuff to do with children, and I'm actually a celebrity spokesperson for the Stan Lee Foundation, which supports literacy in children. I'm also for the Project Meridian Foundation, which is, you know, helps against trafficking of children and young women. So, you know, I do a lot around, you know, kids, and we felt that the kids' books, I mean, it's just like a natural progression, as well as it's meaningful. You know, since I you know, do a lot of touring, I try to do a lot of stuff with you know, Kids Day, like with Wizard World, I always do Kids Day for them and do readings for the kids. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to read the Brimstone of the Border Hounds, but I can read Border Pups and teach them some good things about, you know, about life in general, and just about having fun.
So,
you know, what was that?
I wanted to bring up this Brimstone and the Border Hounds animated series. I'm looking on your site right now, and I'm looking at the cast. And I find it pretty ironic, and it's cool, because I actually just I met Sahad. I guess that's how you say his name. Yeah, I met him at the Tampa Bay Comic Con.
Awesome.
And he's a very cool guy, and I actually just got in contact with his I guess it's his PR person about trying to make me a commission. And I actually asked him to have him on the show as well, so hopefully he'll come on. But I'm also looking over this, and you have some awesome cast members. It's not just yourself as a wrestler, but you have one of my childhood favorites, Brutus Beefcake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty wild. So how did you get involved with bringing him on and as well as the other characters into the animated series?
Well, I mean, when I decided to move forward into the animated series. Well, one, just so you know, I don't know if you're aware, but Sajjad is actually the VP for Hound Comics.
I did not know that.
Yes, Sajjad is the VP of Hound Comics, and he was the lead artist on the Border Hounds brand up until this point, where he's still with Hound, of course. He's just doing his own brand. He's doing a superhero book.
Yeah, his artwork is phenomenal. I love how I've been paying attention to how he does his inking. He'll ink after he colors, which I find different. I like that.
Oh yeah. He's you know what, I found him years ago. He was trying to figure out a way to break into the business. I told him, I said, you know, if you're interested in getting into this, I said, I'd love to work with you. And, long story short, I should say, you know, 7-8 years later, here we are. And, partners in Hound. So
that's awesome.
You know, I love him to death. Everything that I told him came true. So, you know, thank God for that.
That's cool. But, small world. I had no idea he was even involved with your with the company. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No. And speaking of small world, is I see you had Bumblefoot involved in this, and it looks like you're in part with Kajan's, the hot sauce company. Tell me about. Yeah. There was a couple months ago here in Stafford, where I live in Texas. I covered an event, the Houston Hot Sauce Festival, right? And spent a lot of time at the Kajon's booth because I hope I'm saying it right. Kajon's or Kajon's?
It's Kajon.
There you go. And my co-host for the day for the TV station that I work at did the spicy challenge where he went through all 11 sauces.
The execution station.
The execution station. There you go, right there, man. I have video of that. And I got to tell you, man, Bumblefoot was the nicest guy I've met all weekend. He was just so much fun to be around. And he did like this heavy metal jam with like James Rivera from Hellstar and one of the guys who has another company called Big Daddy's Aspern. Trevi, he's in a band called Venomous Maximus. And they had this like metal jam in the middle of this hot sauce festival. It was great.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. Well, just to take it one step back, I know the question was asked about the animated series, and then I can answer the Kajon's stuff. As far as the animated series is concerned, the people that I've got, like Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, Low-Key, Bumblefoot, Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca from Star Wars, the list goes on. When we decided to do the animated series, I said there's no better way than to go in and make it a family affair. You know, these are all personal friends of mine, people that I've known for many years, and you know, we wanted to make sure that we kept it, you know, friendly. You know what I'm saying? We
yeah,
wanted
absolutely.
To keep it where, you know, everybody, we all know each other, can work off of each other well. So, and you know, I like to be able to get back to the boys that came before me. And you know, even though Brutus is a good friend of mine, he was also somebody who came before me, and you know, wanted to give him an opportunity to do something, you know, current with the animated series. He's awesome, great dude, love him to death. Same thing with Valentine, and Low-Key was actually one of my trainers. So
yeah, I noticed that on your Wikipedia page. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he's awesome guy. And you know, now moving towards the Kajon stuff, I know you were mentioning that the Houston Festival. I do believe that we won 2 first place awards out there. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it was either there or New Orleans. I'm not sure which one it was that we just won again for Sweet Heat Treat and The Drizzle, which is absolutely awesome. But yeah, Kajon's, which is for Cajun John, they're fantastic. I actually was able to work out that partnership with Kajon's by chance meeting in Columbus, Ohio, when I was signing up for Wizard World. At the convention center, we do food reviews across the country while on tour called the Food Hound Tidbits. Mm-hmm. And, Frank, our CIO, his wife was pregnant at the time. And, she said, I'm going to go across the way to North Market, and was telling us about this amazing food place that's right over there across the way, from the convention center. And I said, sounds good, whatever. I was busy as all hell. So she came back with this big bag of popcorn, which she's like, you guys have to taste it. And when I tasted it, I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. I needed a breather. I said, I'm gonna take a walk across the way. So I got out, I wound up walking across, and I found the place called Popcorn Pam. And crazy woman, awesome, love her to death. And, after I said, you have something really interesting here. She had like a ton of different flavors of popcorn. And I said, would you be interested in doing one of the Food Hound Tidbits with us? I normally don't do this after, on a Sunday after an event. But, it was so different and interesting. I figured, why not? So she said, absolutely. As soon as we were done with the event, we hightailed it over there with our group. And, we wound up doing one of the tidbits. And during the tidbit, which is, it's a video review as well as a written review following. So anybody could pop in Food Hound Tidbits and look it up online and see Popcorn Pam. So, trust me, you'll laugh. It's funny. That one's actually a very funny video. So she had a a very, very hot, spicy type of popcorn. I don't remember what they called it off the top of my head, but it was crazy. And I was like, wow. I said, that packs a bite. And she said, well, actually Spice Daddy made it. I said, Spice Daddy? Who the hell is Spice Daddy? So she was talking about John. She was talking about John Hard, which is also known as K-John himself. So I was intrigued, and I actually, Bumblefoot and I are very close friends for many years. And, every time I'm out on the road, I'm always looking to find the hottest hot sauce for him, because he's one of those guys that can go up to high millions in the Scoville scale.
Right.
And if you guys are not familiar with the Scoville scale, like a chili pepper is about 3,500 on the Scoville scale. Yes. All right, so you're talking about his bumble effed is 6.5 million on the Scoville scale. So.
I tried that.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
He also had the clearest hot sauce that he was making margaritas out of.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Oh my god, dude, that was amazing.
Although that stuff is delicious, you got to have that in lemonade. That stuff is awesome.
Oh wow, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I forget what it's called off the top of my head. It's the clear. It's the clear liquid. It's unreal. But and then you spike it with a little bit of bubble left, and then you're in.
So, you really are effed.
Anyways, we I asked her, I said, well, is he around? And she said no, because it was closed. And I said, I'd love to get in touch with him and see if he has anything really spicy. And and actually, since we do the food reviews, I said, I've always wanted to do sauces and seasonings and whatnot. And she says, well, I'll get you in touch with him. She got me in touch with him. We had a nice long conversation and got along really, really well. And I called Ron up, Bumblefoot, and I told him, I said, hey, how would you like to have your own hot sauce? I'm going to have my own sauces and seasonings as well. I said, what do you think? He said, absolutely. So, the two of us went down to see John for 4 days. We sat there at his location, in Columbus, and just outside of Columbus, rather, and in his plant. And we came up with all of our flavors, and I have 11 different flavors. I have 5 seasonings, a few sauces, and a salsa.
We will definitely link to all these things on our website too.
Yeah, awesome. That's definitely awesome. And and Bumble has his 6 flavors, which is from mild to I'm going to kill you. So
have you done the execution station yourself?
No, I refuse to do the execution station because I'm not a retard. No offense.
I didn't do it. My co-host, I just filmed it. So,
of course, my wife was the fool to do it. She said, "Oh, it's not that bad." But then again, when she did it, because she came with me to this big Zest Fest event that we did, with K-John's. And she was actually able to come with me. She usually doesn't get to go on the road very often with me, but her and the kids came, and her and my older daughter decided, oh, we're going to do the execution station. I said, there's no way you're doing the execution station. Well, we're doing it. So behind my back, they went and did it, but they did the tiniest little dips of the sauce that you could possibly think of, and then looked at me like they had like bigger balls than I do. So, you know, so when I make people do the execution station, because Ron and I like to get in on that and have fun with the people. So, you know, I'll douse the thing. So this way you have to do a full spoon. A little touch is not a taste. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you heard K-John say that.
Yeah.
A little touch is not a taste. So you have to have a full spoon's worth to show me what kind of cojones you have.
And you can't – do not get some of the ones towards the end of the event. Do not – he was warning people, do not get them on your lips, because you'll be sorry for that.
Did you have when you had when you were doing it, was Vic there doing it? Was
the executioner? Actually, I believe it was John himself.
Okay, so John was doing it. Okay,
yeah, he was telling about. He showed me a picture of his house, and it's just like a museum to hot sauce, basically.
Okay, so then it was Vic that you had.
It was Vic. Okay,
that's Vic. Yeah, real tall guy, crazy.
Yes.
Told you to put a little to put a little cock in your mouth.
Yep, exactly. We had to cut that out for our TV station.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not
here. You can say anything.
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
I keep it clean. But I thought I think it's hysterical because he's always he has some of the funniest things.
Which is funny because I work for a TV station that we do municipal educational stuff. So we were covering it because it was in our backyard basically in Stafford, and we had to edit some of the audio out, but we didn't edit the video. And yeah, the one sauce was the cock. I don't remember exactly what it was called. I was worried my producer was going to go, no, we have to blur that out. But they left it. I was like, okay.
Well, it's got a rooster on it. I mean, that's what kind of it's a rooster.
Exactly,
it's
not
what you dirty people are thinking out there. It's a rooster. And then there's a happy beaver also. I mean, everybody loves a little happy beaver in their mouth. However... You dirty people out there, it's a beaver, as in the dam, a beaver with the animal. People are so dirty out there.
I know.
They have minds, but we have a good time over when we get to do the K-John's events. I couldn't do Houston. I was doing another event that weekend. Where the hell was I? Wow. It all blurs together. Yeah. I can't even remember where I was, but I know I was somewhere else because I was planning on doing that event, and I had to take this other one on. And I believe what I was doing that weekend, I think I was with the Stan Lee Foundation that weekend. But it was something that I had to do, and I couldn't get out there to Houston. So I'm glad you guys had a good time with them. It's always a lot of fun.
So you mentioned a lot of events that you go to. Do you do a lot of conventions how do you feel about, you know, being there for like the whole weekend and, you know, interacting with so many people? Do you just want to go home sometimes and just not worry about it?
I love what I do. You know, I could be pushing pencils for a living instead. You know, I get to be me. I get to be Brimstone and do what I do. It is a lot of fun. But people don't realize that it's a lot of work. You know what I mean? It's a lot of work. We see a lot of people. We try to make a lot of people happy. You know, we travel a lot and, you know, after traveling, trying to keep that smile on your face, you know,
yeah,
day long. And, you know, like, perfect example, I just got back from Kamikaze, which is Stan's event. Stan and Elvira, and I wound up doing that event. And as I was flying in, it was the same time that guy went crazy at LAX.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I was stuck. I was traveling for about 15-20 hours, and it was absolutely ridiculous. It was not fun, but again, the next day I had to be up and ready to go and be, awake for everybody. And, it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. People don't realize it. You know, having to be able to function on a couple hours of sleep, mm-hmm. and do interviews and talk and meet and greet
and be nice to people too.
Nice to people, and
just being around all those people is exhausting in general.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Oh,
yeah. So
some people.
Mad props to you, man.
I enjoy it. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are people that are out there that you know, they're very involved in the community, and they hate doing what they do, and I don't understand it. I always say, you know, hey, look, you know, at the end of the day, you get paid for you know, for signing your name, but you know, and I do understand there's a lot of work that goes into it, but you know, at least try to be happy about it. It's, you know,
right.
You know, it's crazy. A lot, again, I can complain. A lot of people, again, don't realize how much work it is. You got to be away from your family and friends. It's a very lonely business. You know, doing a lot of that traveling. You know, that's why, you know, it's very good when you are on the road, or you are on a tour trail with, you know, friends. This way, you know, it kind of kills some of the time. You get to spend some time with some friends, but it can be a very lonely trail, you know. And on top of that, you know, I have to, you know, work while I'm away as well, because mm-hmm. I'm also the CEO and the president of Hound. So aside from Brimstone, I have to be, you know, CEO and a businessman. So, you know, and then I'm trying to be husband and dad, which gets very difficult. So my wife has to wear the pants while I'm not here, and most of the time when I am here as well. And, you know, it's just a... it's a lot of work. People don't realize it. So, you know, when people say, hey, it's easy, you know, I, you know, there's a lot of fun aspects, and there's a lot of work. My work day doesn't end at a 9 to 5. My work day is 24 hours. You know, I deal with people, especially with Hound. I have that many people. I mentioned I have over 100 people that work with us. Well, some of those people are in California. Some of those people are in Brazil. Some of those people are in New York. Some of those people are in Ohio. Some of the, you know,
I got one down here in Miami.
There you go. And in Miami. Yeah. So figure all the time changes. All right. Figure when it's, you know, 10 o'clock here, it's, you know, 1 o'clock somewhere else. And those people are still trying to call me and get in touch with me, and I have to answer. So I'll wake up in the middle of the night to go take a leak, and I'll have 10 messages on my phone that I have to sit and answer. You see what I'm saying? So it never ends. So when people like to think, hey, oh, that's easy, you do. No, let me tell you. it's not as easy as you think. It's a lot of work, and a lot of work to stay current. You know, a lot of work to be in the public eye and so forth. I mean, you know, I know my people had gone crazy, you know, back and forth, even with you guys, just trying to settle on a date and a time, you know. So,
yeah.
You know,
it's always difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Picture that times, you know, X amount of other, you know, places that I deal with or would like to deal with and so forth. So, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But I, you know, do I love going and seeing the, you know, different people and different faces? Absolutely. I love my fans. I love seeing them. I love answering questions. You know, I love taking pictures with them. I love seeing, you know, hearing stories about, you know, where they got the comics and how they got the comics and, you know what I mean? And, or old wrestling questions or, you know, it's all awesome. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to be one of the guys that has that type of reaction. So
do you, have you heard of the Comic Palooza comic convention here in Houston?
Yes. And I've inquired about it a couple of times.
Okay.
I would like to potentially do that in the future. If they'd be interested in bringing me in, I would definitely.
We'll talk afterwards, because I actually just started working with them as a coordinator for. So I'm actually on staff now, so I could get you in contact with who you need down the road, and we could probably work something out.
That works absolutely.
I'm not as cool as Carrie, but I'd like to see you down
you're cooler.
Here at Tampa Bay Comic Con.
At Tampa Bay, I would do that as well. A matter of fact, I believe my agent had contacted them to do it, but it was a little last minute. But didn't they do two shows this past year?
They did. They did one in, believe it was April, and then they did one in August.
Yeah, I had wanted to do it, but they didn't bring me in. You know, you can't win them all. Sometimes they'll want to bring you in. Sometimes they won't.
Yeah.
You know, I, at the end of the day, you know, I do so many that I can't always, you know, get to them. You know, sometimes they do want me and I can't do it. So it's, you know, it's a tricky business. It really is. I would definitely, if you know anybody there, I'd definitely do that one as well.
All right.
Let's go back a little bit into your company, the Hound Comics. So I'm looking here. Border Hound, you really have it set up to be like this all-encompassing media blitz because you have the comic books. And he says here you also have the cartoon that's been worked on, and you're also going to have a video game. What can you tell me about the game and what kind of progress is that?
The video games, we were dealing with a company called SGN that basically dropped the ball big time. Mm-hmm. We had to go back to the drawing board on that one. We do have a couple other games that are available, you know, a couple of small mini games out there, which are on the website. I also do, you know, we had the app for a little while, but again, SGN dropped the ball on that. So that's not available now. We are working feverishly to try to find another video game company to kind of pick up where they dropped. We do have on the flip side, even though it's not on the video game side, we do have our Brimstone of the Border Hounds RPG launching within the next 6 months with Troll Lord Games. So it's the tabletop role-playing game by Troll Lord Games on the Castles of Crusades brand. So everybody who likes Dungeons and Dragons type of style thing, they'll be able to get their Brim fix there. And in the meantime, I mean, you can only do so much on this video game thing. You know, if you're not dealing with one of the big companies, it makes life a little bit difficult.
Yeah. I've worked at a couple of video game companies. I know how it is. It's there's a lot of politics involved.
Yeah, man. It's everything is good, man. Everything is good. Moving forward, you know, we have a couple of companies that we're dealing with that we're talking to that are in the realm of the larger companies, but nothing is solidified. Nothing I can really talk about right now. That's why we haven't really taken anything down concerning the games, mm-hmm. because there's a couple of things that are in potentially in the works. But again, things happen and people don't realize that, you know, unfortunately not everything is in my control. So
yeah,
we try and it's supposed to be there. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not. So it is what it is.
Now, there's a couple of specific books that I'm reading about that I read about that I really wanted to talk to you about. One is you mentioned Peter Mayhew before. He worked on a book with Terry Naughton, and I actually saw this at Comic Palooza last year, and I talked to Terry about it a little bit. And it's part of your Border Pups, you know, children's book series. Tell me a little bit about that book that it came out.
Well, we had My Favorite Giant and Growing Up Giant, both of Peter's books. They were a couple of the originals that launched on the Hound Kids brand, but they are no longer with the kids with the Hound brand anymore. No. We opted to, you know, all around we had taken it off, you know, the brand for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Mostly the reason is because of a person that's in between Peter and I on the business side that both of us are looking to get away from, and have gotten away from. Gotcha. I can't say more than that.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it was because of this other person, and you never know what'll happen in the future. So I cannot confirm nor deny whether, you know, that those books are coming back to Hound Kids or not.
Pleading the fifth. I can completely understand. And the other one I wanted to talk to you about in Jamie's words, and it, how it's an anti-bullying story written by teen activists.
Yeah, actually, I've known Jamie for quite some time. She was I know I met her parents originally. They had both actually had pretty high positions over at a really large aquarium here on Long Island where I live. It was something that just, I mean, we wound up meeting each other and, you know, we hit it off and they started telling me about their daughter and, how she was bullied and yada, yada, yada. And it was this big story and I watched it blossom into, you know, her taking control of her life and taking control over, what was going on and turning around and, having a law passed, you know, in her name. you know, or helping a law be passed concerning, you know, bullying and cyberbullying. So it was pretty awesome. And you know, I try to be involved with their foundation as much as possible. Obviously it gets difficult, you know what I mean, for everything that I do, but you know, they are fantastic people. And they launched the book in Jamie's words, and you know, it's one of the best sellers. You know, it just continuously sells. She's in front of the children all the time. She goes out, she does appearances in schools and libraries and so forth. And I mean, it's become a phenomenon, you know, where a lot of people are really following what she's doing. And, you know, and she's really creating awareness, you know, amongst the young children, and you know, how to stay away from and steer clear of bullies, and how to handle bullies. And, you know, bullying's a big thing now. There are so many different people that are doing it. But Jamie is different in the fact that she's actually had a law passed, you know, based on, you know, her pushing. You follow me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard of that, you know. And I mean, that's why it struck me when I saw that you guys were involved, and I really wanted to bring that to everybody's attention.
Yeah. What do you call it? She's a fantastic kid. I respect what she does. And, you know, I'm glad that we have the opportunity to publish her book. You know, they were looking for a publisher for so long. And I said to her father, I said, you know, why don't you just publish to us? I said, you know, I'll start Hound Publishing. They'll open it up and put you out through Hound Publishing. So, you know, it happened, and now we have all the books under Hound Publishing as well. But, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I didn't expect to do that either. Kind of fell on it and opened it up, and, you know, to help out a friend, and here we are. So
it's not only is it important because of the topic, but you gave her a huge opportunity to silence bullies, because what bullies don't like is to be exposed, because obviously they're all insecure. So
that's
awesome. Very cool of you and your company.
Oh man, I try to help. I'm very involved, you know, in a lot of philanthropy with a lot of different foundations and so forth. And anything I could do to help against bullying. I mean, there's bullying of all types, of all ages. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. There are always people that are out to get you and that are going to hate on you. Mm-hmm. And hating is bullying, and talking, you know, talking badly about people is bullying. And, you know, there's a, look, I have my own bullies. People try to bully me all the time. They're only bullies if you allow them to bully. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to just stand up, take control, ignore it. You know what I mean? Because they're obviously bullying you for a reason. They're bullying you because they're jealous, because they can't be who you are or what you are. And it is what it is. I'm sure you guys have your bullies as well. You have a successful podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you guys do your thing. I'm sure people talk smack about you all the time, because it's what they do. And the fact of the matter is the people that act like that and talk like that and respond that way to somebody else's success, all they're doing is showing their weakness, and they're insecure about themselves. Yeah. And you know, they wish they could be doing the things you're doing, you know, and it really, it sucks for them, and I pity them, and I feel really horrible for them.
Can you tell everybody again what the name of that actual comic is, or that book? Because I'd like for everybody to read that.
The novel is it's the Jamie Isaacs in her own words is the book. And it's really, really, really good book. Again, you got to remember, it's written by a 14-year-old at the time. You know what I mean? So it's you know, it's basically like reading her diary.
Right.
You know, and that's how you got to. You know, that's how you have to go into it to read it. You know, it's not like reading a novel with a story that's perfect with grammar. And, you know, it is meant to be, you know, in her own words. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, it's a very, very, very good book. You know, for those who have the time to read it, you know, please check it out. And people who are having their own issues with bullies and people, you know, who have kids who have issues, it's a good book for the kids to read, because they can kind of get into her shoes, you know. And,
yeah, absolutely. With this opportunity, you know, having you on the podcast, you know, I don't think I would have ever known about it And this is a good platform for people out there, because I know we have a lot of younger people that listen to the show as well.
Yeah.
So it's, this is cool.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you pushing it out there. You know, these people are people, and that's, you know, there are good people and there are bad people. You know,
yeah.
you gotta make a choice of which one you want to be.
Man, I saw this yesterday. I was on the way up to breakfast, and we were at a red light, and this pickup truck that was jacked up was at the stoplight, and it purposefully burning his tires just to get the smoke to cover of the guy who was driving the scooter in front of us. It's like, really, you know, and down here, I don't know if you guys have it up there or not, but down here in Florida, that when you have, when you're under 21, they color your license plate differently. So it, you know, indicates whether or not you're a new driver, et cetera. And this guy couldn't have been any more than 16 years old, you know? So it's, I just don't understand people like that.
No. You know what it is? It is what it is. There's no way to understand it. You never will.
Yep.
So don't even try. It comes out. Ignore it.
There's a guy down here, Drew Garabo, on the radio. He calls those people dumb dicks.
Wait, what? Who?
Drew Garabo.
Okay.
He calls them dumb dicks.
Oh. Well, hey, he's not necessarily being so nice himself.
Yeah.
So let's move on to a different topic now. What's up? What's coming up next for the comic company and for yourself?
You know, we're doing a lot of branding. You know, especially under the Brimstone name. I have my jerky coming out from the Jerky Connection. It's called Sweet Heat Meat Treat, and it's absolutely delicious. Probably the best, and not just because it's mine, but probably one of the best jerkies I've ever eaten in my entire life. Basically, you know, when they send me a bunch of them, we can't keep it in the house. Everybody from the little my 3-year old to my wife, everybody munches it. You know, and we've been sampling it at a couple of the conventions, like we did it at New York Comic Con. I had some at Kamikaze. I had some, you know, a couple other events, and everybody has absolutely loved it, and they're waiting for it. So that's a big positive. I'm very psyched about that. What do you call it? I have. I don't know. I'm assuming that you guys do. You watch The Big Bang Theory?
We do. I do. Me and my wife do a lot, actually.
Okay, so if you watched The Big Bang Theory, and you've watched the last few episodes, have you watched the ones and what do you call it? Have you watched the ones that revolve around you know, Kuthrapali's apartment?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, right on the back of his door is the Brimstone backpack, which will be in Walmart in a couple of within the next week, I believe.
That's cool.
On top, that's the Eastport backpacks, and
yeah, I'm seeing that on the website right now.
Yeah, and if you actually pop onto you know, that same episode, the same episodes where you can see in the kitchen, you know, because inside the kitchen there's the Brimstone Sweet Heat Treat, the Hell Dust, and the what do you call it, and the Flavor Behavior. So we have a couple of our sauces and seasonings in there as well.
That's what gets me about that show is some of the product placement is so great sometimes, especially in like the comic store. And I guess Kuthrapali is a very smart guy for having your stuff in his house.
Yeah. Well, we're also going to be in the comic store as well. So when they do when they film next in the comic store, you should see big posters of you know, of the upcoming issue 9. Cover up on the wall as a poster, as well as nice. The Project Meridian Foundation cover. So, you know, we'll see how that moves. And they are asking me for more stuff from Hound, so I did send them, you know, a good portion of things and product, and you know, they would like to use a lot of it. So, you know, knock on wood, it seems as though we're more and more relevant, and the Brimstone stuff is relevant. So that's a big positive, and yeah, it makes me happy, man. I can't lie. I mean, that stuff is cool, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice to be able to turn on the right. Show and say, "Hey, look at that."
And that's so that's yeah. You mentioned being relevant. It's like you see a lot of TV shows that they talk about. Oh, here's a comic book, and it's nothing. It's not real. It's not modern. You know, it's not like we would really walk into a comic book store and see nowadays. But right. You sort of get that feeling on the show. I mean, there's definitely a lot of Hellboy around, which I love, and a lot of DC love.
Yeah. But that's about it. I mean, there's a lot of DC love on that show. I'm surprised that they don't have more Marvel, but you know, I guess Disney doesn't allow, you know, a lot of you know, a lot of external stuff. I don't know. I mean, what was that?
CBS, I believe.
They're on CBS. That's probably why then.
Yeah, it'd be a totally different show if it was ABC, I believe.
Yeah.
You think so?
Maybe. Well, I mean, at least with product placement, at least.
Yeah, because Disney owns ABC.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, true. So that's probably why.
True. But, you know, you want to be relevant, you work with whoever you got to work with.
You got that right.
So let's get into a little bit of you. What do you really geek out about the most?
Doing cool podcasts like this.
Aw, shucks. That's cool,
man. Aw.
I'm blushing now, man.
I a lot of different things. I love geeking out to you know, the new Spider-Man cartoon I watch with my kid, and video games, and you know, the cool things that they do now. I mean, the stuff that is out now. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember back when Atari came out, and you go, holy crap, look how far it's come in just you know, a few years, more or less. You know, just some of that stuff is amazing.
And looking at your wiki page, and we are exactly pretty much the same age. You may be a couple months older than me, so I know exactly where you're coming from with video games. It's
nuts, right?
It's amazing now. And we have the new systems coming out. The new PlayStation 4 comes out next week.
Oh yeah, you can't even keep up with it.
No,
my wife and I were looking for holiday shopping and for the kids, and it's just you can't even keep up now with the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, and the.
All I got is pick up Lego Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
I heard
dude!
That Lego Marvel was supposed to be awesome.
I'm addicted to that game. It's the best Lego game they've had out so far. Which of course, you know, it's supposed to be better and better every time they make an iteration of it. But it's once you I've beaten the real game, and I have that okay. I've got to collect everything now mentality going on. I have to make 100% on this game. You know.
We're not sponsored by anybody. We have conglomerates, but we're not sponsored by anybody. So his view on it is the actual 100%, you know, genuine. So he's giving you a 100% genuine response.
That's awesome.
My addictive nature comes out.
Yeah,
we love that the Lego games here in my house. So I definitely wanted to check that one out. When I heard it was coming out, I wanted to get. I know there's like 100 some white characters, right?
Yeah, oh my god, there's so many characters. I'm still unlocking everything right now. It's just you have Howard the Duck in the game.
That's crazy. Are you serious?
Yeah. Howard and I mean, you have characters that you would never think of that are in this game, and they're all playable too.
You know that they used to have issues because of Howard the Duck, because mm-hmm. Howard the Duck, you know, looked so much like Donald the Duck.
Right.
Donald Duck. And now Disney owns Howard the Duck essentially.
That's so true.
It's pretty funny.
Maybe they'll do a Who Framed Roger Rabbit sequel, and they'll have the Howard the Duck and Donald Duck do a piano dueling scene instead
of
Daffy.
Oh man, that'd be so cool.
We just watched that last night. It was on.
Oh,
I'm
really?
Happy. I'm home for about a week, so I'm soaking up the just chillaxing with the wife and the kids. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
Yeah, man. When I tell you, yeah, we just watched it last night. We were up. You know, I had the little one up until like 11 o'clock, you know, because it was still on and she was enjoying it. And it still looks as good today as it did back.
It really does. And I just picked up the Blu-ray not too long ago, and some of the bonus features on it, the making of, you know, because we're the same age. Did you see it in the theater when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. And it really was really ahead of its time for when it came out, just from the technology standpoint.
Oh, absolutely. It was insane then. It's insane now. It's just one of the most amazing things about it, one of my favorite things about it, was that it had every cartoon character you could think of in
right.
it. Every single one of them was in the film, and it was, they were all together. It wasn't separated, Disney and Warner Brothers and all that other stuff that was out there.
You know, that had to been a logistical paperwork nightmare to get all those characters together.
Oh yeah. Well, you know that they had to have paid a ton of money in royalties out. So
yeah, there was a portion on like the making of, like the scene where Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny were falling, and it was Bob Hoskins. They had to have the exact amount of same screen time. They had to have the same amount of lines. It was just, I could not get in the middle of that.
Wow. It is what it is, you know. Hey, look, if somebody wants to use brimstone, as long as it's in a proper way, you know, I have no problem doing it. You know what I mean? I'd be perfectly fine, you know, having him go against Marvel guys. I'd be perfectly fine having him go against DC guys. You know what I mean? I have, there's actually an exclusive print that was done for Alamo City Comic Con. Bats versus Brimstone versus Wolverine.
Oh, nice. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, and it's kick ass, and it moved like the Dickens. And like I said, I you know what, Brimstone could go into any one of the universes and have a good time. And at the end of the day, you know what, if they'd allow it to happen, I'd be more than happy to do it, and I have no problem, you know, giving an ass kicking and taking a licking. You know what I mean? Either way, it doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? Have fun with it and enjoy the characters. You know, it's a business, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to, you know, have to be able to let the fans enjoy what they want to see too.
Oh, totally, man. Totally. Because I mean, that's really what it is. It's all about the fans. It's, you know, it's the people that buy the stuff. It's us. It's everybody listening to the show.
That's what I always say. If it weren't for the people that are, you know, if it weren't for the fans, we wouldn't be where we are. Like I said earlier in our conversation, it's all about the people that come to see you, and they're spending money to get into the place. Then they're spending money on your product. They're spending money just to see you half the time. You know what I mean? It's, and these are the people that are, you know, that put us where we are. So I love my fans. I go out of my way for my fans. You know, I will always do whatever I possibly can in order to give back to them. So, you know, it's not everybody is like that, unfortunately, but, that's the way I am. So, I guess. And the other stuff about geeking out, I mean, one thing that I totally geek out about is I always love to see, you know, the Brimstone character, or just, you know, which is essentially me, you know, the comic book and, you know, and toys and this and that. And then it's just, that's really cool. It just, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. It still boggles my mind. We did.
It's probably right. Surreal too.
Oh, it's crazy, man. We just did in LA. I was 3D rendered. They did the 3D rendering of me. Great company that's coming out. It's called Co-Create. And they do 3D, 3D printing, and the stuff is just insane. So I went to doing it. They brought me in to do it maybe a couple hours, or well, maybe an hour, I'd say, before they opened on the Saturday, you know, the Kamikaze show. And you know, they sat and they did with these things, like a full 3D render of me that they're actually making into a small figurine, which is absolutely awesome. And it looks identical. So it's insane. So it was so cool. I don't know if you guys follow wrestling. So I brought RVD over to,
we were talking about last episode. We had, Ian Robinson on, and he's a huge wrestling fan as well. And we kind of geeked out about it.
Oh, very cool.
Me, not so much, but
yeah,
John Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, I hate keep saying this, but, since you know who, wrestling, I actually, I'm friends with, Barry Horowitz.
Get out of here.
That's serious. Yeah.
That's awesome. I don't know if Barry will remember me, but you definitely have to let him know that I said hello. A matter of fact, I think he is I'm also another Jewish pro wrestling. Yeah. So, you know, I think he is the most underused and
he's unappreciated. Because he's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think personally he should be inducted, but you know, it's a matter of people using their politics and pulling strings to get him where he needs to be.
Don't you actually work with him?
Yeah, I do.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, he is hilarious. He was telling me road stories, and I tell you, a lot of people don't realize when they see people on TV on what they're really like. And one of the greatest things about Barry is when, like, he was, you know, he was the heel guy, who, enhancement wrestler. And when he was in a wrestling match, you know, he was kind of like the guy that, you know, you make fun of or whatever. He didn't have any type of ability to just go off on people with the mic skills. But if Barry was out today, he would absolutely be on top, because this guy, when you take the muffler off of him, he is brutal and hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. He was always the guy I looked at him. I go, hey, he's so underused. They should have done something more with him.
Yeah, but, they really should have.
It is what it is. What do you call it? Definitely have to send my regards. I'm not sure if he'll remember me, but I'd love to get in touch with him. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, man. He actually just went up to the WrestleMania. There was I think it was the WrestleMania thing in New York, and then they also had another thing going on where Warrior and Hogan was. But he was at that one in New Jersey. I can't remember the name of the event, but he was up there, and he was wearing a shirt that gave him.
This weekend?
No. Around WrestleMania, he was up there.
Yeah,
but he goes out and wears a shirt that I gave him. It's called, because he's a huge MMA fan, and we geek out about it together. And the MMA shirts, I gave it to him. He said, give me you have any shirts or anything? I'm like, yeah, man, here. So it says, kill your local drug dealer. And it's got a gun on the back, so it's kind of funny.
That's funny. Yeah, he's that's great, man. It's funny you say Hogan. Yeah, so New York Comic Con. I don't know if you paid attention. I know you said you've been watching some of my stuff. So I get there because I was signing all weekend. And usually I'll bounce back and forth between the celebrity area and then to different booths depending on what I'm doing. So I was signing in the Stan Lee Foundation booth for most of the weekend, and Saturday I had my scheduled time, so celebrity area. So I get down there. Everything's great. You know, we're getting ready for me to go out. So I step out there with my agent and my wife was with me and a couple other people. We step out. I look to my left. There's Hogan. I look to my right. There's Will Shatner. I said, there's no way I'm going to do anything today. I said, are you serious? I said, you know, I have Hogan there. Meanwhile, JDF. I don't, Jason David Frank from Power Rangers.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's
and
nice
he's a
guy.
Character and a half. So you know, we've actually done a few things together with Wizard, where we'll I'm one of the go to celebs for the cosplay contests, and then since he's been doing the tour, he's been one as well. So you know, we wind up having to interact with each other here and there, and he's a what they call a class clown. And so I got him, I got Hogan, I've got Shatner. What do you call? I realize my buddy Stan is doing the picture booth at the same time. I've got the David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson from X-Files, yeah. Who the hell else? And then Kristen Bauer and I forget what the other one's name is off the top of my head, but from True Blood. All next. I said, there's no way that I'm going to make anything right now. I said, it is just ridiculous. You know, how am I going to do anything down here right now? But it was good. So it was good to be down there. But that's the
host. Cool, man.
So Yeah, it is what it is.
So here's the biggest I do have one topic I want to get both of your guys' opinions on, and this is – we'd definitely be remiss if we didn't speak about it. But – and, John Michael, we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. There was rumors about Marvel making some new TV series.
Yes.
And it has been confirmed that they will be on they're working on a deal with Netflix. So this will be, I guess, 2015.
Wow.
Do you know about this yet?
I've read a little bit about it, and from what I understand, it's going to be Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the main focus. They're going to have Iron Fist
and Luke Cage, Power Man,
and
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
Right, so the deal is that there's going to be four 13-episode series coming out featuring Marvel Comics heroes. Like you said, Daredevil is one of them, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. And then it's all going to lead into a Defenders series, which is... my mind is just really blown.
Well, it's kind of funny because we were talking about how cool it would be if they would do a Defenders movie, so...
Mm-hmm. We were just speaking about that, you know, like 2 episodes ago, and which is great about all these characters together. Is they're all basically in the same area of the fictionalized, you know, Marvel's New York.
Yeah, they in the article, I do know that they mention it's going to be focused on Hell's Kitchen.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Now, who would you cast as Daredevil?
Not Ben Affleck.
I was about to say, not... Not Batfleck. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. What do you think, Brimstone? Who would you cast? Let's play
for Daredevil.
Yeah. It's tough.
Perhaps the guy who played Bill on True Blood.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I can see that. My wife is walking in the room right now. She's a huge True Blood nerd.
Fanatic.
Fanatic is it's the word. What's his name? Bill, which was Stephen Moyer.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Could you see him as Daredevil?
Yeah, he's not very bulky, but yeah.
Well, you could bulk out. Come on.
Yeah.
All I gotta do is take.
But neither is Ben Affleck though.
Yeah, that's true.
Just Ben Affleck's head is big.
Yeah. I mean that's just me not thinking about it and saying just throwing out a name. You know, but I could see the facial structure and so forth, and I could see him doing the whole attorney. He's an attorney, right? Daredevil's an attorney.
Right, yeah.
The blind, I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean it's great because Daredevil would I think I mentioned this that in the last couple shows that Daredevil would be an amazing show to have because it's got that whole like Law and Order SVU, you know, the courtroom drama series type of deal.
Law and Order Marvel, exactly.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you know how everybody's always trying to say like, you know, DC can't keep up with Marvel's movies and vice versa about the animated movies. DC's animated movies are by far, you know, superior to the Marvel animated movies, in my opinion.
Oh, and agreed. But the live action, DC cannot touch Marvel's live action.
But man, they're doing it with Arrow. They're really, really doing it.
Okay. Because we went and saw the new Thor movie. Have you seen that yet, Brimstone?
No, actually, I have not. I have not had the opportunity. And then I probably could have went with Rooker to see it. But it was maybe a couple days after I left LA. I know mm-hmm. Rooker and Stan had gone to do it. And I kind of kicked myself because, you know, if I had stayed for one extra day, maybe I would have been able to go down.
I love how you nonchalantly just throw out, yeah, I could have seen it with Rooker, you know.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. But...
Did you offer him any chocolate covered pretzels at all though?
No, I don't.
But we did see it, and I was sitting there through the movie. It's really good, by the way. I think it's better than the first movie because you always have that. The first movie, you're always trying to introduce characters, and they have to go through, you know, all the backstory and all that kind of stuff. And by now, you should know who Thor and Loki are and the backstory between the characters. So they're able to really dive into a new story. And I thought it was a lot of fun. And I was just sitting there watching and going, you know, the last Superman movie, Man of Steel, was not good. The last Batman movie wasn't very good. They just weren't fun. They looked great, but they just weren't fun to watch.
Right. I see what you're saying, though.
And these movies are just fun.
Yeah. I haven't, I've seen just a couple of the previews for it because I haven't had the chance except for this week, you know, the last couple of days really to watch some television. So I haven't seen any kind of previews for it up until, you know, the last couple of days. And yeah, it looks pretty interesting. It looks pretty good.
And I will state that I am a Marvel zombie more so than DC, but
yeah, so he's kind of biased.
Yeah, a little bit. And my wife loves Loki.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh man, you know what? A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Did you see that video where he was on Comedy Central talking to little kids, just like those? I guess it's an insurance commercial or whatever.
The Geico commercials.
Yeah. He's sitting there talking to the kids. It was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend Googling it or YouTubing it.
We can actually put a link to that in our show notes on the MSRcast website at MSRcast.com. see how I did that?
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the if you haven't read the Bendis Alias series, which is not the TV show Alias that came out years ago, but Jessica Jones character, who was like a private investigator, who actually in the comics is married to Luke Cage and has a kid together. So, it's all gonna work well together, I think. And I know Netflix has picked up a good thing there.
Yeah, it's cool, but it's kind of crappy in the same point because I don't have a Netflix account. So now the only way I'm gonna get to see it is either watching it or downloading it.
Right, but you know, for $8 a month, it, Netflix, in my opinion, it's worth it. I'm on the fence of actually getting rid of the cable company. You know what I mean? Just going that route.
Well, we did.
Yeah.
But in any case,
because I mean, do you guys have a Blockbuster video around you guys anymore?
Not anymore.
Apparently,
the one that was here actually turned into an urgent care facility.
Very, very soon, nobody's going to have them around because they're all closing down. Whoa. So they're completely they got bought out by Dish Network, I believe, last year, and they've kept some of them around. But I knew there was the final thing was going to happen because I went into the store that's over by one of my schools, and I used to rent video games from them. And I walked in and was like, "Hey, do you have this game?" And they're like, "No, we don't have that one." I'm like, "Okay, what about this other new title?" "No, we're not going to really get any more new titles right now." Like, what do you mean? He's like, "Oh, well, the company decided for the rest of the year, at least for the rest of this year, we're not going to get any more video games." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to tell me anymore."
Wow. Well, wrote the book, huh?
That was it. They closed the book, and that was it.
Wow. It's crazy. Well,
they've all been gone from my area.
Yeah.
For quite some time, at very least a year. Probably a lot longer.
How do you buy your video games? Do you rent them from online? How do you play new games?
Who, me?
Yeah.
We usually buy them.
Buy them?
We buy them, yeah. We've never done like the GameFly or any of that stuff, but we have way too many video games in the house, unfortunately.
I don't know. I could probably fight you on that one.
Well, I guess, look, you can never have too many video games.
Exactly. I have a buddy of mine, they're twins, right? And they collect everything. They just reached, I think, number 6,000 in their collection.
Wow.
Dude, I want to do a documentary on these guys because their collection is so immense and massive. They could basically have their own museum and people would pay to come see it.
Holy crap.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you again, man, for coming on to the Metal Geeks podcast. We had a fucking blast with you, man.
Oh, I appreciate you having me, man. It was a long time coming. We've been working on this for a couple of weeks now, huh?
Yeah. Definitely, man. It's definitely worth it. Good things come to those who wait, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. I appreciate you having me on, and you know, anytime you guys are around, hopefully you'll stop by and see me. If I can make it out to Tampa or the Houston ones, you know, love to see you guys out there.
Definitely,
absolutely, man. And we'd actually like to have you back on in the future, especially when you have big things happening for Hound Comics and what have you.
Sure, I appreciate it. Yeah, and I'll. I'll give Sajad a call and let him know that he needs to go on, but he never does interviews. I mean, he'll do them, and then, you know, but I have to sit and twist his arm to do them. So yeah. He hates doing interviews. He's like, Brim, you're the face of the company. You should just do it. I'm like, listen, well, you should do it because they need to know who you are too.
He can just come out and geek out. He doesn't have to go into interview PR mode at all, you know?
Yeah. He can geek out about art or whatever. I really like his style, and I'm going to have a commission, and hopefully by the time he does come on the show, if he takes him a while to get on, it's fine. I'll have the commission done so he can put his artwork out there, and I'll put the image of the commission on the show notes. And we're on a couple sites, so it'll be popping up on multiple sites.
Speaking of, let's let everybody know where to find Brimstone on the interwebs, Twitter, Instagrams, and the website information.
Lots of information. My official website, www.entrancetohell.com, is my official website. If you're on your mobile device, you could just put the M in there, so it's m.entrancetohell.com, and you get the mobile version of it. You can even take it and make it a link to your on your homepage on your phones. It's get a cool little handy dandy icon, which is awesome. So make me feel special, show it to me at events, and I'll maybe give you something special. So
there you go.
You could check me out on social media. I was just accepted and put on to whosay.com, which is celebrity only social media, which helps me kind of get out to all the other social media in one click as opposed to doing each separately. I'm not crazy about Hootsuite, so this actually is a really, really cool thing that I've been starting with. My Twitter is at Entrance to Hell. My Instagram is at The Real Brimstone. Facebook /Brimstone. And if you guys do have the opportunity to click onto it, I am rallying to be to get signatures. I'm trying to get onto the next edition of the Celebrity Apprentice, and somebody was actually kind enough to put that together for me. So if everybody would be kind enough to find that petition, it would be awesome of you if you can go on there, sign it, and pass it around.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely share all those links in the show notes under the website under the episode for MSRcast.com. And I saw your Celebrity Apprentice, the Facebook page you can sign up for. Everybody should do that, man. I would love to see you on there.
It would be a lot of fun, especially if it's in New York. I'll kill it. You know what I mean? If it's New York, I own that show. If it's in New York, so and I've said it to every. I know a lot of people that have been on the show. You know, from Frigno to Brett Michaels and all of them guys, and Aubrey O'Day, and at the end of the day, I let them know if I was on that season with you, you'd be done.
Yeah, nice.
Except for Brett. Brett's awesome. So
it'd be nice to have somebody in our corner, in our geek corner, representing us on that show.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hey, anybody that can help me get on that show, would be much appreciated. And I would be playing for the Stan Lee Foundation. So anybody who is out there and who's geekified, you're a nerd, you want to get one of your fellow geeks and nerds up in there and to really take control and bring one home for the team, definitely sign up and pass it around.
Cool, man. Well, thank you for coming on, and you can locate us on the interwebs as well. Like we said, msrcast.com. You can find us on altness.com, rhymes with geek. .com, which is a cool conglomerate of lots of different heavy comic book podcasts. We're trying to get together with some different heavy metal podcast networks right now, and we're in the works on that.
Yeah, the website's actually rwg.com.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy way to do it. We have Twitter at Metal Geeks and Instagrams at Metal Geeks Podcast.
And speaking of which, we're just under 600 people. Mm-hmm. We literally just need 20 more people to follow the Metal Geeks podcast, and then we'll finally be able to give away the Kingdom Come Superman Funko Pop.
Hopefully by the time you guys hear that, we'll be pushing close to 9 million. No.
Yeah, but we're also going to be giving away some cool little miscellaneous gifts to the 600th follower.
Yeah, we have
say with a lisp.
I know. We both have lisps, so it's a little bit difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
we do have a plethora of stuff we can actually give away to our followers. So, you guys follow, listen to our show and like us. We like to give it back a little bit, you know? Pay it forward, as they say.
You rub me, I'll rub you.
No. Okay.
Whoa.
Not going.
Whoa.
Sorry.
And on that note, thanks again to Brimstone for hanging out and geeking out with us. And as we say to end every episode, keep it metal and keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.